sidewalk.
Current state enjoyed a visit earlier this week from an East Lansing native you've probably seen in the movies and television over the years. Timothy Busfield graduated from East Lansing High School in 1975. His father was a former MSU faculty member. His mother worked for the MSU Press. Busfield has appeared in more than 30 feature films and TV movies. One of the movies was Field of Dreams. He's been a regular or recurring character on 14 TV series, winning an Emmy for his performance on West Wing. He's also directed many times and done stage acting. Tim Busfield moved back to Michigan in 2010. Today, he and his wife, actress and congressional candidate Melissa Gilbert, live in Brighton. In part two of my interview with Tim Busfield, I asked him to name a lesser-known project of his that he thinks deserved more recognition.
Well, I think Little Big League was a movie that opened across from The Lion King that has stayed on and runs all the time. And not because, I don't say it should have, it's that it survived the test of time, which is the real, I didn't think Field of Dreams would be a classic. I didn't think anybody would see it. But now 25, 27 years later, it still plays all the time. Revenge of the Nerds, I thought would have a short run and be done. And what's made Revenge of the Nerds a classic is the fact that it's survived for 30 years. So with Little Big League, it did no box office and nobody really watched it when it came out because of The Lion King. And yet it runs all the time. It's seen tremendous life now. I would say that Quiz Show, which I was in, hardly ever plays. And it was an Academy Award nominated movie that Robert Redford directed. So I think it's a really good movie that no one sees that was hyped. I think Little Big League is, kids come up to me all the time and say, are you Lou? And I'm the star first baseman in that movie and the love interest. So they recognize me, but that movie hangs on. I think TV-wise, I think the TV show I did with Stephen Bochco called The Birds of Paradise with Jennifer Love Hewitt and Seth Green was a really strong show that was up against must-see TV before they knew Thursday night must-see. We were up against Mad About You and Friends, and nobody knew what they were at the time. And the network said, well, we're going to have to find something else that's going to beat up these comedies, not knowing that those comedies would be around for the next 10, 12 years dominating Thursday night TV. So
what's your best career decision?
I think the best career decision I made was to leave Los Angeles in 1986 and move to Sacramento and start a nonprofit theater that toured the schools, professional actors touring the schools. At a pivotal point in my career, I'd just come off Trapper John. I was the number two lead by the end. I'd replaced Gregory Harrison. I had the Nerds movies. The first one, Family Ties, you know, 40 episodes of Trapper John, a sitcom, a Broadway career. But when I moved there, I learned. And I learned how to produce, and I learned how to direct, and I learned how to write. And it was a step back, and 99% of the people in our business wouldn't leave. And my agents were saying, we don't know what to say to you. This is a career. You can't move to Sacramento from Los Angeles after taking over the number two lead on a CBS show. You're in demand. And I said, I need to improve. I'm 29, and I'm going to make a career move and believe that I will continue to work in Los Angeles and New York and around the world while focusing on my skills in Sacramento. And I believe that if we don't put theater in the curriculum of schools, that it will die. And I believe that, and I believe that now. So that move, that career move that I made was, when I got the call in 2001 to produce Ed for NBC, I was ready because I'd produced 100 plays and I knew how to run a shop. And when I'm an executive producer of a TV show, I run that unit. I run the production unit, which is the heavy end. That's all the crew and the acting and the shooting of it and all the directors that might come in and all of the design, set design, all of that world. I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not produced 100 plays. The children's theater went to, I designed a 200-seat theater and then a 100-seat theater after I'd created the children's theater over that 15 years. And producing all those plays and directing all those straight plays and adult plays made me a better director. So in 2001, when I really started to direct and produce a lot more, I was in shape. I would not have been in shape for that had I stayed acting and in the Los Angeles gerbil wheel of just trying to keep job after job coming in to get my kids through school. I actually went away and spent $750,000 to try to develop my skills. Mm. And that's paid off for me.
Remind us why you moved back here to live. Was your wife's run for Congress a part of that decision or not?
No, it was the weather. I moved here for the weather. What? You don't love it? Everybody doesn't love it here?
You don't like sunshine.
My wife was so far, I didn't have any clue that she would ever even think about running for office. I had moved back here before I met her. I was living in Holly on a little house. I moved to Holly, I think 2010 or 11, right in there. I moved from L.A. to Holly, and I got a little one-bedroom house for $700 a month.
Not Hollywood.
Not Holly. Yes. Holly, and I was on Buckhorn Lake in a really cute little, beach little cabin. And I was living there, and I did a play at LCC, and I went back and had directed, I think in 2012, directed the Fosters pilot. And while I was directing the Fosters pilot, I re-met Melissa, who I'd met years ago, and we immediately fell in love and moved to Michigan. She moved in May of 2013, so I'd already been living here a couple of years, and she found the place a little small, which it was, in Holly, and we moved to Howell, and then it was there when we were in Howell that she got on board to try to help the Democratic hopeful Mark Schauer run for governor. In that process, she got to know Debbie Dingell and Debbie Stabenow and many of the women in the Democratic world, and they liked her speeches and liked where she was coming. And I think, some of those women helped encourage her to throw her name in the hat in the 8th District and try to flip that red seat blue.
How is her candidacy impacting your professional life at this point, if at all?
Well, it is. She had become, when you see One Smart Fellow, I found my leading lady. I put her into Secrets and Lies, or got her on that. I got her into a show we did last year for NBC, another show. I love acting with Melissa. She's so fun to play with. We have characters that we've created that we play with. She's really funny. What so many people don't know about Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie is that her grandfather created the Honeymooners. And that in Melissa Gilbert is a ba-dum-bumper. What comic timing in her ear, in her how she was raised. She is funny. And she's really funny in One Smart Fellow. And she's really funny across the board. I miss having her to play with. And that is the only effect. But, I support her in that she has, in her life, been so busy working that the chance to give something back and think in terms of service is important for her right now.
If she's successful, how much more change are you prepared for? House in the Beltway, that kind of thing?
Well, we'd have to have a place in Washington. I mean, I won't be able to see her. It's going to severely impact my spooning. In my life, that's the biggest problem is I can't get to sleep. I can't find a pillow to replace her. So when she goes off on the road or she's working or I'm on the road, it's become really problematic. And until I can, create a new her, I don't know. I'm going to have to find a new way to get to sleep.
We're talking with Tim Busfield here on Current State on WKAR. I thought I knew quite a bit about you, but I read today on the IMDb website that you played 9 seasons of semi-pro baseball. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that number would probably be, it's probably more like 15 or 20 when you put it all together. I started playing minor league ball when I was 16, but that 9-year run was with the Sacramento Smokies in Sacramento. It was the college league, semi-pro baseball is, it shouldn't be confused with, although there is some pay that might be handed out to some of the ex-pro ball players, or when you're playing a big crowd up in Humboldt and you've got a few thousand people, they might throw some money your way, but I played for free. I'd shared my theater parking lot with the semi-pro team in Sacramento, and I went out and said, can I throw batting practice? And the coach said, get out of here, get lost. And somebody said, no, it's the guy from Field of Dreams. And he goes, hang on a minute. Field of Dreams? I said, yeah. And he said, you got a cup? And I said, I got a cup. And so I said, I'll be back. And I threw on my woolly shirt, and I came out, and I threw some batting practice. He goes, hey, not bad. Why don't you come out as a publicity stunt? You know, you'll throw a couple innings, and I can't be responsible if you get hurt. And I said, I think I'll be okay. And he didn't know I'd been playing baseball all my life, or softball, or somehow stayed in the game. And I went out and pitched that first game and didn't get the decision, but didn't get the loss, and went, I think, four innings, and he put me in the slot next week and the week after that. And right around 18-5, I was offered a pro contract with Saskatchewan of the Northern League at 35. And I said, I can't. I don't think I can. I can't. My wife said, I can't buy a pair of shoes for $500 a month. I continued to play with the team and was a headliner and had around 50 starts and won 30 of those and lost about a dozen.
That's great. And you served in the Navy, is that right?
I was in the Navy, went in the Navy after high school for a couple of years. Yeah.
Where and doing
I
what?
I was stationed in Great Lakes for basic training and Mississippi for my A school to learn to become a personnelman. And then ended up at Naval Air Station Miramar, where I was the commanding officer's radar, basically. I was there to shuttle him around and get people to come to events he had to speak at. And I'd do paperwork on people when they checked into the base and, you know, sign them in and handle their leave and stuff like that. And it was an administrative job. It was great for me. I played baseball then while I was doing, playing on the University of San Diego's summer team while I was down in San Diego and coaching Colt League baseball.
We thought we knew you.
You know what? There's a lot. You'd have to go into that world to find out some of who I am. I don't really talk about my personal life a whole lot, or I haven't. Generally, I'm pushing products not talking. Now, I did when I had my radio show in I think 1990 or 2000, 99, 2000, I took over for an empty talk radio slot. It was Dr. Laura and then me for 4 hours at drive time and then Dr. Laura. So you could tell what kind of environment I was working in.
This was syndicated radio?
It was not syndicated. It was Sacramento.
Local?
It was
okay.
The Rush Limbaugh where he got his start in Sacramento. I learned a lot. I probably talked more about myself when you're in front of that microphone with nothing else to talk about is when you end up, my wife would say, are you telling them that I farted in bed? And were you just talking about that? And she'd be outside the station calling me going, I'm listening to what you're saying on the radio. I could see outside and I was like, I'm out of material. I ran through what I downloaded this morning to talk about that was news, and now I'm talking about my family. So they were all too excited for me to not do that anymore.
Well, look, we hope you enjoy your visit here in Comm Arts. We're pretty excited to have you. And please tell your wife when the campaign revs up, we're eager to hear her thoughts as well.
Oh, thanks, Mark. It's so great to sit down with you again.
Actor, director, producer, East Lansing Trojan, class of 1975, Tim Busfield, thanks very much.
Thank you.